Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're taking the time again to be part of our Sunday worship service. It's so good for us to continue to do life together, even when we're physically distanced, by tracking together on this corporate spiritual journey. I also just want to say thanks again for your continued financial partnership. We are so encouraged by the way in which so many of you have adapted to the changing circumstances of the day and are finding ways to ensure your financial support for our church family continues. Now, if you're one of those who's still looking for a way to make the switch from on-site giving to some other method, now, let me encourage you to visit southabbotsford.com/donate, where we outline various options available to you. Well, as this COVID-19 pandemic rolls on and we continue to experience life in very different ways, I think that one of the things that we need to guard against is allowing the coronavirus to subtly, or maybe not so subtly, worm its way into the center of our existence. Let it be the thing that defines our lives in these days. Now, certainly it's a big deal. I don't deny that at all. But as followers of Jesus, we need to guard against giving it too big a place in our lives. We are first and foremost defined by God, by His mission in the world, and by our place in that mission. And that doesn't change just because our circumstances change. We need to be careful that we don't somehow give COVID-19 an inappropriate amount of power in our lives, nor allow it to sidetrack us from the more important things. And yes, as Christians, we need to keep reminding ourselves that with as much impact as this pandemic is having, there are more important things that we're called to give our attention to. As a church, we've discerned a mission, vision, values, and priorities that we believe God has called us to follow. And if they don't hold up when some significant event crops up in the world, then that means they aren't worth the paper they were written on in the first place. These strategic statements exist in part for exactly these kinds of circumstances, so that in spite of how crazy things might get in the world, we still have a way of reminding ourselves of what really matters to us as a church family and what course we need to stay true to. And so now is as critical a time as ever to bring some of those things back to mind. Specifically this morning, I want to remind us that we hold the Bible in high regard. That living in light of what we find in the Bible is important to us because we believe that it's more than just words on a page. It is God's very communication to us. We call this value submission to Scripture, and it's an important value for us to embrace in these days. The writer of Hebrews says that the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. When I read that Hebrews passage, it always sounds to me like the Bible is demanding to do spiritual surgery on us. God, through His Word, very much has a work that He intends to do in our lives through its pages. But I wonder sometimes if we too often come to the Bible bringing our own agendas, and in the process of doing that, we limit the depth to which God wants to be at work in our reading. And I want to think about that with you for just a few moments today. Now, you may be familiar with an acronym that some people use for the word Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Now, frankly, there's more than one thing about that acronym that I would love to take issue with, but for today, I want to challenge this notion of thinking about the Bible first and foremost as an instruction manual. Now, certainly, it does have things that it instructs us on, But I believe that when we approach the Bible primarily from a rule book perspective or an instruction manual perspective, we miss the heart of it. Now, let's just start with the obvious. The way that we use the Bible already demonstrates that we know it's not been simply handed to us as a straightforward instruction manual. Because on the occasions where the Bible does seem to just lay out some do's and don'ts for us, our frequent picking and choosing of those things shows that we recognize discernment needs to be applied to how we understand what the words are actually calling us to. Now, today, we don't tend to look down on women for wearing what would be considered men's style clothing, or failing to build a guardrail on the roof of a new house, or planting two kinds of seeds in a vineyard, even though the Bible speaks against all those things. And that's because we recognize that there's more going on in the Bible than just outlining eternal rules to be blindly followed. Second, I mean, if God really intended the Bible primarily as a rule book, I mean, I think he could have done a lot better job making things clear. Giving to us this compilation of narrative stories and poems and letters and proverbs and prophecies, I mean, that's not the best way to author a compendium of crystal clear propositions to be believed or imperatives to be obeyed. That's not how you would write a rule book. Now, furthermore, there's enough diversity in the Bible to very often find a verse or a portion of a verse to support just about whatever point of view we want the Bible to affirm. And so over the years, the Bible has been used to justify slavery and its abolition. It's been used to justify keeping women subordinate to men and fully emancipating women. It's been used to justify violence against one's enemies and to condemn it. It's been used to justify political power and to condemn it. Often it seems that what the Bible says about a topic depends on which verses you choose to read and which verses you choose to ignore. That doesn't make for a great instruction manual. So just for fun, let's say that someone comments on an Instagram post that I make with some response that is rude and condescending and passive-aggressive, and it's totally off base. I mean, it's clear that this is a fool who's responding. And now I want to go to my instruction manual to tell me what I should do. How does the Bible want me to respond to a fool? Well, I know that Proverbs very often deals with these kinds of issues, so I flip there and I leaf through the pages until I get to chapter 26, verse 4. And there is my answer. Do not answer fools according to their folly, or you will be a fool yourself. Perfect. I mean, there's my clear answer. I should ignore the comment that the person made, not even give them the satisfaction of any kind of response. Because if I do engage this fool, then I'm just going to look like a fool too. So thank you, Bible. That was simple. And it is simple, so long as my eyes don't wander to the next verse. Like, I mean literally the next verse, verse 5. Answer fools according to their folly, or they will be wise in their own eyes. Hang on. So I should answer the fool? Otherwise, by not responding, he's going to feel like my silence is an indication that he's actually said something wise? Like, come on, Bible, which one is it? And I'll point out that's not the only place in the Bible where we find multiple angles or multiple takes on the same question or theme. So what are we supposed to do? Well, if the Bible was simply meant to be a cut and dry instruction manual, you certainly wouldn't put both those verses in it, and you certainly wouldn't put them literally side by side. And yet these kinds of diverse thoughts occur in a lot of places in Scripture. And it's clear that there's more we need to do if we're going to engage the Bible in the way God intends, more than simply treating it as a list of simple propositions or rules to live by. Now add to that fact that the Bible God has given us is also time-bound. It originates in a certain time and culture and context. And the further we get away from its time, the more it doesn't directly answer some of our questions anymore. How should I engage with social media? Should I invest in the stock market? What should we think about artificial intelligence? The Bible doesn't directly answer these questions because the Bible hasn't even heard of these things. If we're hoping to use it simply as a reference book to flip through for some simple answers on how to respond to every situation life might throw at us, we're doomed to failure because it doesn't deliver on that. Not because it's defective, but because we're expecting it to do something that God never intended in the first place. You know, sometimes I actually wonder if Bible concordances are more of a curse than a blessing. You know, sure, it's nice to be able to quickly find certain words or topics, but I wonder if they just encourage us further down this road of an instruction manual approach. You know, how should I respond to topic A? Or what's the answer to question B in life? So we go to the concordance, and then we flip through and find the three verses that mention that thing, and then we formulate our answer. And in the process, we turn verses into sound bites. Right? Like it's line 3 of subsection B of paragraph 56. Instead of experiencing verses as parts of a larger story that reveals God and his mission to us. In a rule book, individual lines do stand on their own. In the Bible, individual thoughts come in the context of larger ideas, which are in the context of broader books, which are in the context of a compilation of books. We're in danger of violating the message of Scripture if we forget this. All right, what am I trying to say in all of this? Let me say this. I'm not trying to undermine the authority of the Bible in any way. In fact, quite the opposite. I believe that never moving beyond an instruction manual or rule book reading of the Bible is, in fact, what undermines God's work and often limits how much we let the Bible speak into our lives. Because we end up reducing our reading of the Bible to what we want to know, what we think is helpful, instead of being fully open to what God wants us to know. For example, there's a particular school of thought that would say that we should always be reading the Bible side by side with the newspaper. In other words, we should start by considering what are the dominant conversations in the world? What are the hot topics in our culture? What are the current circumstances? And then, once we've done that, we flip to the Bible to figure out what it has to tell us about all those things. And of course, there's absolutely a place for that. But I do think we're off course when we see that as the primary way we're supposed to make use of Scripture. Because that particular approach, looking first to our circumstances and then going to Scripture to try and find guidance, tends to put self at the center of the equation because we've decided what we think is most important for the Bible to speak to. We've told the Bible what we're looking for. We've set the parameters of the interaction. And then we narrow our view of Scripture to only consider verses that speak to that limited idea. And that simply makes Scripture far smaller and, in my opinion, far less powerful than it demands we let it be. See, I think our primary posture needs to be to start with Scripture, not circumstance. Let Scripture tell us what is and isn't important on its own terms. Instead of always coming to Scripture with our agenda, we need to come with open hands to seek God for his agenda. God, what do you want to say to me right now? What message do you have that transcends my circumstances? Beyond the questions I have for you, God, what are the questions you're asking me? What's not on my mind or in my heart that you want to have there, God? Because far more than just giving us rules to live by or instructions to follow, God's big agenda in Scripture is to reveal himself to us, allowing us to get a sense of what he's like, see what he's up to, understand how he interacts with people, discover how we fit into his plan, and know something about where this whole story of history is going. And we're apt to miss much of that if we let our tunnel vision on life be the thing that always sets the agenda for our Scripture reading. So yes, I mean, topical study and bringing our questions, that's all legitimate. And we do that as a church together often. But part of the reason we also sometimes just take time to go through a book of the Bible and just sort of study it from front to back is for this exact reason. It's not because we're being lazy or we've run out of topics to address. It's our intentional way of saying, God, we're not coming to you now with our agenda. We're coming to you with open hands to let you reveal yourself to us in whatever way you choose. God, you share your agenda with us. In our personal reading of Scripture, this is one of the reasons I think it's awesome that so many of us are engaged in a simple kind of read through the Bible reading plan, as opposed to a topical study that starts with our predetermined question. Our reading plan is really starting with no other question than, God, what do you want to say to me today? We're letting the whole of Scripture speak to us, not just our favorite parts of Scripture. And thinking about all of this in light of our present circumstances, living with COVID-19, you know, there are absolutely things that the Bible has to say that can help us live well in the midst of what's going on. But I'm also convinced that there is far more that God wants to speak to us about than just how to get through this season. God isn't wringing his hands and putting his mission up on the back shelf because we're experiencing a pandemic in the world. Where it would be easy for us to get tunnel vision about this one issue and to only look for answers about it in Scripture, a fuller reading of the Bible will help us keep our eyes fixed on greater things, more lasting things. A fuller reading of the Bible will help us realize that the answer to the question of how should I live during a pandemic is simply, well, the same way you should live when there's not a pandemic. Because none of what we're experiencing changes any of the fundamentals of what Scripture reveals to us about God, his mission, and our place in this world. Paul wrote, Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. And here, friends, is the real goal. The point of Scripture isn't simply to solve our problems or answer our questions. It's to help us grow, to grow in godly wisdom. It's there to help make us spiritually mature. And as that happens, as we become more intimately familiar with the whole heart of God and his whole mission through a whole reading of Scripture, not just our chosen sound bites, that maturity that is formed in us gives us the ability to live well in all things, to even deal with the circumstances in life that the Bible doesn't cover, the situations that the Bible doesn't actually address, even making us wise enough to know when the time is right to engage the fool in his folly and when it's just time to remain silent. Church, now as much as ever, we need to value submission to Scripture, which means approaching the Bible not just with our agenda, but asking God to reveal to us his agenda, his heart, his very self. That, my friends, is the true path to letting the Bible be a vehicle in our lives that leads us to the wisdom and maturity God intends for us. I want to invite you to join me in a prayer. Lord, you have given us your word for a light to shine upon our path. Make us those who meditate upon it, encounter you in it, and submit ourselves to its direction, finding that as we do, its light shines ever brighter. We acknowledge that often we come to your word with our own questions and agendas, and we're grateful for the way in which you graciously meet us in those moments. But more than that, Father, we want to come to your word with open hands and open hearts, asking that you would meet us according to your purposes and reveal to us your ways, which are higher than our ways, and your thoughts, which are higher than our thoughts. We commit to being a community submitted to Scripture, which is your very gift of revelation to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.